We are now ready to begin the jury charge portion of the RPR examination, which is 5 minutes of dictation at 200 words per minute. Ready? Begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have listened to the evidence and the statements of counsel. It is now my opportunity to give you the law which you will apply to the facts of this case. Please remember that it is your sworn duty to adhere to these instructions and to apply the law as I will give it to you. You are not permitted to modify the law nor apply your personal ideas about what you believe the law should be. My instructions may be complicated, but you will be provided a written copy to take with you into the jury room to assist you in your deliberations. Now, at the beginning of the trial, I told you that you are the persons who must decide all the questions of fact presented to you. In deciding what effect and what value to give to the evidence, you must not be swayed by sympathy, passion, or prejudice for or against any party, witness, or lawyer in this case. At the start of the trial, the lawyers made opening statements to you, and at the end, they made closing statements to you. They asked questions of the witnesses on direct and cross-examination, and they made legal objections when they thought they should. All of these remarks are not to be considered facts. The lawyers are not witnesses. You are to decide the matter just on the testimony that you heard from the witness stand and the evidence which has been admitted. You heard counsel talk about two kinds of evidence. There is direct evidence and there is circumstantial evidence. I will take the time now to tell you what each of them is. Direct evidence may be given by a witness who has seen or heard something. This is direct proof of a fact. It may also come from the exhibits which have been admitted into evidence. Included among the exhibits in this trial is the gold necklace of the victim, as well as the drugs alleged to be the defendant's. On the other hand, you may draw an inference from a fact or group of facts not known by direct means. This type of proof is what is known as circumstantial evidence. Most of the evidence offered to you in the case was received through the testimony of witnesses. Please remember, a question in and of itself is not evidence. It is the answer that you must consider. Do you recall the times when I sustained an objection to a question and you were not permitted to hear the answer? You should not think about what the answer might have been because the answer was not proper. Moreover, if any motion to strike was sustained following the answer being given, then you must totally disregard that question and answer. Since you are the judges of the facts, that means you are to decide whether or not to believe any witness and how much weight to give to that person's testimony. Just because a person swore to tell the truth does not mean that you must necessarily believe all or even a part of what that person has said. You should use the common sense and experience that you use in your daily living in judging who and what to believe. If you believe that a witness has willfully lied under oath to you, you may decide to reject all of the testimony he or she has given to you. However, if you believe a portion of what he or she has testified about is true, you may accept that part as evidence. The defendant in this case has entered a plea of not guilty to both charges. This places at issue all the elements of each charge against him. The state must prove to every one of you beyond a reasonable doubt each and every element of each offense charged. In this matter, Stephen Crockett is charged with two counts, robbery and possession of drugs. Each of the charges set forth in the indictment are separate and distinct crimes. You are to consider each count and all the evidence on each count separately. In order to find the defendant guilty of robbery, you must determine beyond a reasonable doubt that on or about the 3rd of March of this year in the city of New York that Stephen Crockett took the property of another, that being a gold necklace, by force or threat of force. In order to find the defendant guilty of the second count of possession, you must find beyond a reasonable doubt that on or about the 3rd of March of this year, the defendant possessed the controlled drug charged, that being crack cocaine, with both knowledge and intent in the amount charged in the indictment. I instruct you as a matter of law that cocaine base in the form commonly known as crack cocaine is a controlled substance. The word possess means to own or to exert control over. To do an act with knowledge and intent means the defendant was conscious and aware of his actions, realized what he was doing and what was happening around him, and he did not act because of ignorance, mistake, or accident. If you decide that the state has proven all of the factors of one or both crimes charged beyond a reasonable doubt, then your verdict must be guilty of that offense. If you decide that the state has failed in proving any of the elements of either of the offenses beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict must be not guilty of that crime. The defendant has no duty to take the witness stand in his behalf. The defendant has a right not to testify. The fact that he did not testify on the stand may not be considered for any purpose. The defendant has set forth a defense. He says he was in a different city at the time of the commission of these offenses.